Torah with about Miriam, my thoughts turned to the book of Exodus, and I thought for the few moments that we have left, we could perhaps read some verses here, and hopefully we will get some help in connection with our family life and with our responsibility that we have to bring up our little ones for the Lord. In connection also with what we had yesterday. So maybe we read a few verses here in the first chapter of Exodus, verse 15. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then he shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Well, to bring before us the thought is my exercise to see how Pharaoh, a picture of the devil, Egypt, a picture of the world, is making every effort possible to take away the children from their parents. The tactics of the enemy today have really not changed in principle as we see them here in the book of Exodus. And in years past, when we were a young family and began to have children, we were greatly distressed by seeing so many go into the world, and the thought that impressed itself upon our hearts was, what a terrible thing to think that these precious little souls would be lost, and lost for the Lord, lost for His testimony, and go into the lake of fire. But the Lord gave us much encouragement from this passage, and I believe it is well for us to be aware of what he is seeking to do. And why is it, you might say, that he was particularly interested to destroy the boys? It was because the people of Israel would cease to exist, to destroy the testimony. And really his attack was directed against the seed. That was the enemy's aim. And so in whatever the enemy is seeking to accomplish with our children is still the same aim. He is trying to destroy the testimony. And I like to especially address myself to the boys, the young people, the young men. Be aware, and dear father and mother, be aware that the enemy is trying to get a hold of your sons and of you, young boys and brothers, because he wants to destroy the testimony. How can an assembly life go on without young men exercised before God? And I'm not saying that we should begin to be exercised as 20, 21-year-old fellows, even younger, that we want to cry to the Lord for mercy, that we be preserved for Him, for His people, for His testimony, to shine for Him. So he says, throw them, or first kill them while they're in the process of being born. You know, I believe we have to be aware that the enemy is seeking to interfere with every effort of bringing souls into life. You know, to bring them really into spiritual life. Here it was a question of natural life. And so the enemy is very active and busy and even trying to stop them from ever becoming a living soul here on earth. That's his tactic. And we see that the midwives who feared God did not do according to the king's commandment. And the Lord honored them. He built them houses. They were very weak and feeble, and they didn't even utter the truth when they're called to answer before the king. The Lord takes that all into account, and it is not that he justifies their actions, but he realizes the difficult position they were in and the weakness displayed by them. But there was that in these women that was of God. They feared him, and they would rather obey God than men. And then we see that the king gives a commandment, throw them in the river. Throw them in the river. What does that speak of to us? Well, we have to understand that Egypt is dependent on that river. That's the life stream of Egypt. All the life of this world depends on what the world has to offer. Everything that the world has to offer, Satan tries to use it to kill in a spiritual way the offsprings of the people of God. We have to be aware of that, dear parents. We have a responsibility as much as we can, by the grace of God, keep them from being thrown, as it were, into the river. You know, these children will face the world and the influences, satanic influences, every day, especially once they leave the home and be going to school and rubbing shoulders with the world and the children of the world. Well, we ought to be definitely exercised that at least our homes be, as it were, a sanctuary where they have godly influence, where we do not, in addition to all the exposure that they face with every day, will also dare be exposed. Because that's all would speak of that river. The life stream of this world kills in a spiritual way the life, and the testimony of the Lord suffers. Well, we don't want to give him a hand, do we? And we find in Moses' parents especially that Moses' parents, they saw that child, and they saw that child beautiful, and they saw by faith in him a deliverer, and they would not throw that child into the river. They would not obey the king's command. Again, we see how feeble their faith is. For a while they keep the child, but then, as it were, they fear the king's command and they put him in that basket. But I think we can look at it this way, that a time comes in our lives when we can no longer shelter the children completely from the influences of the world, but we can, as it were, put them in that basket. Prayer and looking to the Lord daily for them will preserve them. But I thought too, in years gone by, when I looked at this chapter, I thought of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, Pharaoh's daughter, you might say, in a way, is a representative of that same power of the prince and god of this world, of Satan. And when she sees that child, there is again another effort on the part of the enemy to get a hold of the true children of God and claim them for their system of things. And we find that the Lord arranges it so that the mother has the opportunity to be with this child, raise this child, and I'm sure, as Francois expressed this morning, that they used every opportunity to bring before the child the tremendous privilege of being part of the people of God, and to really stress to this child Moses the privileges of blessings and promises given to them that God will fulfill, although at the present time it didn't look at all as if there was any hope that these promises would be fulfilled. But in due time, God honored that faith. And God preserved Moses. It took a long time until the faith of these parents was rewarded. And isn't it true that by the time when Moses really came brightly out for the Lord, the parents perhaps were no longer there. They didn't see the result of their efforts. And of course, none of our efforts, none of their efforts would have succeeded if God would not have come in on their behalf and intervened. And so it is with us. But dear parents, we should, every one of us, remind ourselves, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a conflict. And we have faced them in our families, and you have faced them. And we have sometimes said to ourselves, when in difficulties, the struggle and the conflict doesn't matter, doesn't count. What counts is the end result, that the Lord will be magnified and glorified in, or glorify himself, I should rather say, in the life of these children. We have to remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And all the power of the world and Satan combined cannot succeed against the power of God. And so we see that there is even a sense in which we can look at Pharaoh's daughter uttering something that we can take as an encouragement. She said to Moses' mother, she said, "I will give you wages. I will give you wages." I think that we can look at that God used this lady to utter something that they could take as an encouragement, that we can take as an encouragement today. We can say, God tells us, if we bring up these little ones in the fear of the Lord, he will give us wages. He will, in spite of our failures, that is, God will give us wages in spite of our weakness and our shortcomings, our humbling experiences that we all make, he will give us wages. And the mothers, what a privileged position the mother has in bringing up the little ones for the Lord. You know, we have often read the book of the Kings, I'm sure, and we have come across these statements, the name of his mother, the name of his mother. My, what a joy it is for those mothers who have seen their sons, their daughters grow up to be strong for the Lord. And here again, I like to remind ourselves that many of these dear parents might never see the result of their labor of love. The Lord might take them home before their sons, their daughters come out brightly for the Lord. But let's not use that for anyone in the room here that might not be going on with the Lord to give them the idea there is still time to come out brightly for the Lord. We would like to see this kind of life as we see it in Samuel and in other young men of Scripture. You know, isn't it true that those whom God used powerfully among his people were usually those who in early years took a stand on the Lord's side, like the Daniel and his friends? There again you see that the king tries to claim them for himself, for his domain. and they would not fall for all that the king had to offer. They stood for the Lord. And young he must have been, because he was still living after the Babylonian Empire had fallen. He was still there. He could not have been more than a teenager when he stood for the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter whether we are old or young. None of us can stand against the power of the enemy in our own strength. But a young boy, a young girl can stand against the enemy in the strength that the Lord provides. We have, as older ones, no other strength that every child of God has. The strength is our Lord, counting upon Him and upon Him His help. May the Lord give us grace that we too cling by faith to His promises and lean upon His power and count upon His ability to make our feeble efforts to succeed in raising these little ones for the Lord. My, how sad it is when there are assemblies where there are young men growing up with very little exercise for the things of the Lord. What a joy it is, on the other hand, to see when young brethren sit together without an older brother with them and read the Word of God together and meditate upon it. And if they don't get much out of it, take one of the books that men of God have written, helps provided by the Lord for us, and read it. And in the beginning, you might not get much out of reading the scriptures together because you have so little done it. But as time goes on, you will get more and more joy out of reading this precious book and meditating upon it individually and together. You know, there is nothing wrong with young brethren to do this when they come together. Some might perhaps smile and think you're trying to act pious. Don't worry about it. The enemy is only trying to use perhaps even carnal Christians to keep you from that which the Lord has in His wisdom given us for our spiritual development and growth, this precious book, the Word of God. And so may the Lord help us, beloved saints of God, that we go on for Him individually, as families, and in the assembly, that the testimony of the Lord might be strengthened to some extent, and the name of the Lord Jesus be glorified.